What's up, everyone? Welcome to Rumble Fumble Live, the conference championship edition. I'm your host, Jake Long, and with me, my co-host, Mike Marquette. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm not bad. I can't complain. I'm sure your weather down in Tampa is a lot nicer than what we're getting up here on the east, northeast with all the snowstorms that just blasted us.
Not too much. We got record lows down here, man. It's been in the 30s.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we got 10-year lows.
People are probably fucking panicking.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's not another incident like Texas had with everyone's pools and pipes, all the water pipes freezing and cracking and everything, because they're not prepared for that kind of weather.
We are not.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's been mayhem. But other than that, how's your week been?
Good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, always good when it's a Saturday and you're just talking some football. But first, let me say that Rumble Fumble Live is sponsored by Body Check Wellness. Head to bodycheckwellness.com and use promo code OCS, all caps OCS, for 25% off merchandise, anything you want to get there. They got CBD oils, you know, joints, pains, you can't sleep, anything, that they got what you need. So go check them out at bodycheckwellness.com. Let's dig right into the big topic here, Mike. We got the Tom Brady rumors. I mean, he's the GOAT. Undoubtedly, he's the GOAT. There's rumors swirling. Came out early. Adam Schefter broke it. As soon as Adam Schefter broke it, I thought, okay, it's true. But now you're getting reports from Bruce Arians that he hasn't heard anything. Tom's dad said he hasn't heard anything. Well, he said that, no, he hasn't made a decision yet. And also the GM of the Bucks said that he's still taking his time to make his decision. What do you make of this, and what do you think will be Tom Brady's final decision this year?
Wow. You know, I was shocked. I didn't think it would come so quick. I thought he'd take his time with the decision first and foremost. And then you heard the San Francisco rumors, and you heard a couple other things. And then it just dropped out of the blue. And like you said, when Adam Schefter said that, he's 99% of the time spot on with his sources. But everything I'm hearing down here, it's probably some home cooking, but they're adamantly denying. They're saying it didn't come from him, didn't come from his camp. So it's as of right now, you know, and Tom Brady, they said, was pretty pissed about this news coming out. They said he said he's still undecided. So, yeah. I was hoping he'd step away, man. Let somebody else win for once.
Bro. Yeah. And it's kind of weird that, you know, he's like, it's undecided now, because Adam Schefter reported, and also his brand TB12 tweeted out all of his accomplishments. Sorry, can't speak today, and said thank you for all the memories, Tom Brady. So right there it was saying it, but now that tweet has been deleted. So it's like, is Tom Brady retiring? Is he not? You're getting all this. I think it's just Tom Brady trying to take the spotlight away from everything. Conference championship weekend. He's supposed to be out of it, but guess who's the number one fucking topic of the weekend? Nobody has – most stations that I've listened to out here in Philly, it's been all Tom Brady talk, and then you get a little snip of conference championship talk. So somehow Tom Brady found a way to be the number one topic during conference championship weekend. So my final conclusion is, I think he's not going to retire. I think he wants a farewell tour like Kobe Bryant and other athletes have had. So if he says, oh, I'm coming back for one more year, make one more run at it, he's going to get every primetime game, every 4 o'clock Fox game. He's going to have every single person talking about him every single week. It's just marketing at that point, and it's not a bad idea to do it, but it's just annoying. Like, just retire. Let someone else do it. Let the Buccaneers suck again, and we can all be happy.
Yeah, man. It, you know, I didn't really look at it from that angle, but I mean, I thought I got to see his second to last game. You know, I thought in person. That was the first time I've ever seen him in person. And he still has it. It's not like he's Big Ben and he's got nothing left in the tank. Yep. I mean, Tom's still a top five quarterback probably. So, and right up before this, all the talk was him going somewhere else, him leveraging his way out of Tampa. That was the big story here is, does he want to leave? And the San Francisco stuff just doesn't go away. You know, you see Jimmy G's been, you know, he's, you know, their defense and Debo and a lot of different special teams carrying San Fran. And you're hearing that's where he wanted to finish career. So a lot of that talk was going on down here. And then just like you said, boom, just popped out of nothing. He's not, you know, he wasn't ready to be out of the spotlight, I guess, but I don't see him retiring, man, especially not now. I can imagine he's pissed off. A fire's lit under his rear end, and he's going to come back and probably win a Super Bowl. You know, that's just Tom Brady's story. It just seems like count him out. He comes back and he wins again, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Got a couple comments here. Sean Campbell says, shout out RFL. Thanks, Sean. Mayor John Street, great Flyers hockey guy, partner with our sister, brother, whatever podcast you want to call it, Old City Sports Network, Flyers Alley. He's doing great with his John Street Hockey, and we're partnering up with him. He's a great dude. So if you haven't checked him out, go check him out as well. My wife is actually commenting and saying bye-bye, Brady, and she loves Body Check. So listen to the wife, because I do. Everyone else out there, listen to my wife. But yeah, enough of the Brady talk. Let's talk about someone who's actually retired, and that's a Steelers legend, Big Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's a couple years, you know, past due, but he still went out there and gave his all, and that's all you can ask. I mean, he just didn't have it anymore, but he still put in the practice, put in the work, and just his body just gave up on him. I mean, Tom Brady did a shout out to him, showing him all in his ice bandages. And he's like, you know, there's two different ways or a different way to bake a cake, because Tom Brady's, you know, taking all these smoothies, all that shit. And Big Ben's probably out there drinking beers, and eating hot dogs, and still playing, what, 18 years in the league and Hall of Famer. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, Super Bowl throw I've ever seen in my life. The catch is the most overrated play in NFL history, with Joe Montana to Clark. I mean, the guy had a 3-inch vertical and called it. That throw to Holmes was just fucking unreal. And then the catch to top it off was unreal. It was absolutely insane. Probably one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. As much as I hate the Steelers and everything, but you got to give him respect. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and congrats on the great career, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. A couple years too late, but they didn't really have a succession plan, so he kind of tried to bail him out a little bit with that, and the arm just went, man. But he was great. The 10 years ago, man, he was one of the best. They were always in it. You know, he was a big part of that. So.
Yep, no doubt. And he never did it. I mean, he had Antonio Brown, who was great, but Hines Ward wasn't a superstar receiver. He was a team guy. A guy just went out here and did what he did. Like a, I would say probably a poor man's Larry Fitzgerald. You know, he did what Fitzgerald does. He just didn't have the talent that Fitzgerald has. So, but you can't knock him, because, I mean, he's a hell of a guy. And I'll talk about him later, because he actually got some head coaching interviews. But that's the Texans. And we'll move on. Big news out of New Orleans. Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints split. He says he retires. They said they split. What do you make of this, Mike? Do you think he's going somewhere else eventually, or do you think he's actually hanging it up?
So there's always been – so his family lives in Dallas. He's had that Dallas connection for years. I think he goes to the broadcast booth or does whatever, takes a year off. And then when McCarthy's out next year, I think Sean Payton probably steps in and takes that job, because he's still one of the best coaches, man. He always fields a good team.
100%. I mean, they had 53 starters out this year. your roster's 53 men. So that means that every position, starter, backup, special teams, everything pretty much had a backup in at some point. And he still had them, what, a game out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a job.
Yeah, sorry. They were starting Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. I mean, Michael Thomas was out most of the year. I mean, and with all the injuries, and like you said, they were still in it. He's a hell of a coach, man. He is. Even when he was a coordinator, he was a hell of a coach. I mean, he's not done yet. Watch him on the Cowboys' radar. If McCarthy starts to struggle next year, you know, they don't win.
I 100% agree. I think that's when the news first broke in my one group chat, everyone's like, he's going to Dallas. Because it's been talked about Dallas trading picks for him for a few years. And now, and you made a good point, he might go to the booth. Probably not the booth, but be an analyst somewhere. Because big TV market's going to pay him to be in the booth for 1 year. Yeah. He'll probably get some ESPN analyst or pregame Fox or something like that. And then he'll wait. McCarthy will blow it again. And then boom, insert Sean Payton. And I'd be worried.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was the Cowboys right now, I would be trying to trade for him. Because, I mean, he can retire, but if he goes to the Cowboys, I think they have to pay a certain amount. There's something going on because you can't just retire to go somewhere else. Like Sean Payton would have to pay back money or something along those lines. If I'm Dallas, I'm trying to do it now because you have the talent on offense. And if you wait a year, it might be a year too late because then you're getting into those rookie contracts that are going to need to be extended. Dak's already paid. You're already paying Zeke. You're paying some linemen, you're playing some defensive linemen. Micah Parsons will be his second year in. I know they still got a fifth-year option on him because he's a first-rounder, but I would get Sean Payton in there as soon as I can. If you have to trade a first-rounder this year for Sean Payton, if you're the Cowboys, you got to do it because you might be a coach, a head coach away, an offensive mind away. Imagine him and Kellen Moore together.
Yeah,
I mean, they would think up some ridiculous shit with all the weapons they have. But it's the Cowboys, and they'll probably fuck it up some way, and we'll all be happy again at the end of the season.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I think Jerry Jones came out, I think it was today or yesterday, and said that he wants McCarthy back. He's going to give him.
Yep, I've seen that.
But we'll see. I mean, it's the Cowboys. Jerry Jones, he doesn't have too many years left, and you know he wants to win, so.
Yep.
Thinks Peyton's a guy and you know he'll make the move, man. He's one of them owners that you know you hate him but you almost love to have him because he's just a guy who wants to win so bad.
Yeah, he reminds me of Mr. Snyder, Ed Snyder for the Flyers.
Yeah,
we never got it done besides the early 70s, but up until the past maybe 6 years before Ed Snyder was on his way out and getting old. He unfortunately just passed away not too long ago. But he always was going all in, always going to get the biggest free agent, trying to win this city a cup. And that's what Jerry Jones is doing. He's going balls to the wall and just hasn't worked. And that's how sports work sometimes.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's see, Briley. In the end, it's less about the coach and more about Jerry Jones. Yeah, I mean, we just spoke on Jones, but I think the thing with Jones is everyone was saying he was drafting, and I think he took a back seat to that because you look at his past couple of years at drafting, the Cowboys have done pretty well, and I think that's more Stephen Jones and the actual scouting department instead of Jerry Jones trying to draft Johnny Manziel, and they had to bribe him out of it. Also, Briley's a bitch. Sorry, I had to throw that. Briley used to be a co-host on here, and then he enjoyed golfing more than talking football. So I was like, whatever, get out of here. No, I love that guy. Brad, we'll play Halo in a little bit, all right? But on the next coaching carousel, I mean, we might as well continue the coaching talk. We got a couple new head coaches, Denver Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett, former Packers offense coordinator. Everyone's speculating that that's a move to try to lure Aaron Rodgers to Denver. Do you think that's the main reason that he got the head coaching job in Denver?
110%. I 110% think that's what that is right there. From what I've read is that he's got a pretty good relationship with Rodgers, and that's one of the places Rodgers wants to go. It seems like a place that quarterbacks have been going. Peyton went there, you know, won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I could very well see it. I think Rodgers is definitely done in Green Bay, and that's Denver's going all in to try to get him. I think that would be a fantastic move, man. They got a good defense, and they got some players that would be a hell of a team with Rodgers.
Yeah, I completely agree. If they say that wasn't the reason they got him, then they're just blowing smoke up our ass, because, I mean, nobody was talking about Hackett as a head coach. And the Giants, Brian Daboll, the Bull, whatever you want to call him. I hear different things on the radio, how they pronounce it. But I'll say Brian Daboll, Bills offensive coordinator. The Giants, for me, the Giants don't have Josh Allen. So they don't have Stephon Diggs. And they don't have an offensive line. Could it work out in the long run with a new GM, new head coach? It could, but the Giants past couple of years have proven that it just isn't working. And they're in salary cap hell after the Galladay signing. They've signed some big guys on defense. And Saquon's it's probably best for him to be traded, but I think that's going to be up to the new head coach and GM. What do you think of this hiring? Do you like it for the Giants?
You know, the number one team I hate more than the Cowboys, more than anybody, is the New York Giants. I mean, in my era, the Giants and the Eagles were the two teams. You didn't worry about the Cowboys too much. I've enjoyed thoroughly this last 10 years after Tom Coughlin retired. And just with that GM coach combos that they've been trotting out there, I think they made the right hire at coach. I can't speak too much on the GM. I don't know too much about him. But Brian Daboll is a good coach, man. And they got two top 10 picks. And, you know, it's a new era, I think, for them. I think that they can fix a lot of things with those picks. And Daboll has proven to be a pretty good offensive coach. So I'm a little worried. I think that they might be able to turn it around with them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for us, it's not as Eagles fans. But I know Giants, man, they've been hanging in there. It's tough. I mean, New York, New Jersey, whatever you want to call it, they got the Giants and the Jets right now. I think they're all going to start transitioning up north to the Buffalo Bills if things keep going the way that they're going in New York. We talked about the Broncos, talked about the Giants. The third head coaching position is the Bears. And Matt Eberflus, Colts defensive coordinator. I think for the Bears, this is absolutely fucking terrible. Unless they go out and get a big name offensive coordinator or offensive guru, I mean, what the hell are you doing? You got a rookie quarterback, second year guy next year in Justin Fields. That's supposed to be your franchise guy. Your defense is already good. You go and you hire a solid defensive coordinator within, or someone who's a secondary coach, something like that. But if anything, I think the Colts defense underwhelmed this year. I thought they were going to be a top squad, and they didn't look like that at all. So it's the Bears being the Bears. I don't understand this hiring at all. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great hire, but that's just the Bears. I mean, I think Doug Peterson or Byron Leftwich or Kellen Moore, a young offensive mind to pair with your young quarterback. You see the league nowadays. You see last week the Bills' best defense in the league get tore up. I mean, it's great to have a good defense, but what wins in this league is offense. And, you know, I think that they needed to pair an offensive coach with Justin Fields. I think that they're going to do it to him what they do to every other young quarterback they get. They just ruin them, man. They don't support them the way they should. And, you know, you're going to put a defensive coach in there and, you know, it's going to be the same old Bears. You know, they're not going to compete.
Yeah, unless they're looking at it like, oh, we had Nagy. He was supposed to be an offensive guy. But it's like, it's Matt Nagy. His best years were at Mitch Trubisky, which is – surprising. Trubisky's got to be looking at him like, yeah, fuck you guys. You know, I told you I was a good quarterback or better than what you got. And he was, but that's probably so far out of the four or the three that have been hired. It's just like, I don't see that working out at all.
I think the double doink, I think, really ruined Matt Nagy. Yep. They should have won that game, man. That's I think it went downhill from there for them. I think that ball goes through the uprights. He's void right now. So
Brad Early says Carson carried that defense. He's a big Carson Wentz guy. He actually bought his game used jock strap, I heard, but yeah, that's a different story.
You can have it.
Marty Sessa says, here we go, Steers, here we go. Marty, I'm not sure if you were listening earlier, but we did a little Big Ben talk. So if you want to check that out, you can rewind, or when I post the podcast later on Anchor, you can check that out. And Marty also says, Carson blows. Yes, he does.
Yeah, I agree.
And it sucks because I had such high hopes for him. I mean, a lot of my shit in here is Carson Wentz still, and it's just like, after that Super Bowl, we're like, all right, he comes back healthy. You know, we got another 5 to 7 years of a great quarterback, and he just couldn't get out of his own head. So
I screamed from the rooftop. I was anti-Carson from day one, man. He had that great year, but I rather would have kept Foles, and I was a big Jalen Hurts, you know, fan, so.
Yeah,
happy to see him go and get us a first round pick, and then struggle in Indy.
Yep, yeah, that's our top pick, right? 15,
15,
or right. They might be 16. The Dolphins might be ahead of them. I forget.
Yeah,
and then a couple of the vacant head coaching jobs: the Saints. Adam Schefter reports that the Bucs. Byron Leftwich, offense coordinator, is interviewing. Lions defense corner Aaron Glenn. And the Saints' own defense corner, Dennis Allen, are all among the Saints' head coaching candidates. I mean, I'm not sure where the Saints are going to go. I mean, I feel like Sean Payton was like, hey, what's our cap space? And they said negative $75 million. He was like, fuck you guys, I'm out. Because they are screwed. Whatever coach comes in there is pretty much going to be a lame duck coach. Might get 2 years. But with that cap situation – and I mean, you got Kamara and a Michael Thomas who doesn't seem like he wants to play there anymore, or he's injured all the time. So good luck to whoever takes that job.
Yeah.
And the Jags, they are just about interviewing everyone. I think they called you, right? And they called me yesterday and asked us if we wanted to interview for the job. They interviewed Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning head coach, former Colts and Lions head coach Jim Caldwell, Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, Buccaneers Byron Leftwich as well, Buccaneers Todd Bowles, Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, which would be a fucking disaster.
Yep.
And then also their interim head coach Daryl Bevell and former Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. And they have still not made a decision or even come close to a decision. So that's the Jags are up in the air. And I think the Jags would be better for an up and coming coach who's trying to make a name for himself. You go down there, have a couple seasons, maybe 7 to 10 wins, you start getting looked at for turning that team around that quick. So maybe like a Byron Leftwich, I think, would be a real good fit for them.
So I'm a my number two team is the Jags. I lived in Jacksonville as a kid for a little bit, 4 years. But I think that's Byron Leftwich's job. I don't see why they would pick anybody else. I mean, he's got so much history there, and he's one of the top up and coming coaches. You pair him with Trevor Lawrence. They have some pieces, man. They got some good players on defense. They got Trevor Lawrence. They got a couple players on offense. They got the number one pick in the draft. You know, the Urban Meyer experiment didn't work out, but I mean, they're a young team. I think you pair them with a young quarterback with a young coach and see what happens, man.
Yep. We got some comments rolling in here. We got a little war between Marty and Brad. Said Brad quit the podcast because he knew Carson wouldn't get the job done. Lost to worst team in football to head home. It's true. Brad says, say it to my face, keyboard warrior. And then they just went on, get on Facebook and keep arguing on Oxford yard sale. So these are a couple of my buddies. They just like to go at it. So it's always a good time with those guys. But yeah, Marty makes a good point. Michael Thomas going to retire also, guys, and play in 2 years. I don't know if he'll retire. I think he's going to ask for a trade out and probably take a cut to go to a contender. I think that's what will be his path. And I'm sure the Saints will be welcome to it because they need all the cap help they can get right now. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints are just selling off everyone at this point because, I mean, $75 million below cap is insane. And if you think about their top guys, who are they? Kamara, Thomas, who's their defense lineman that's been there forever?
Cameron Jordan.
Cameron Jordan, yeah.
They got Mark Lattimore.
Yeah, and that's about it. I mean, that's a lot of money tied up to four top names. So I think they're going to start unloading some guys.
Yeah, they got a lot of good top end players. I mean, it's just you can't pay everybody.
Yep. All right, and then the Vikings interviewed Todd Bowles, Kellen Moore, Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, Eagles defense coordinator Jonathan Gannon, 49ers defense coordinator D'Amico Ryans, and Rams defense coordinator Raheem Morris. I could see them hiring a defensive guy. They have a decent offense. Their defense has been the letdown the past couple of years. And then the Dolphins, we have 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel, Cardinals defense coordinator Vance Joseph, Kellen Moore again, Bills defense coordinator Leslie Frazier, and Rams, the AHC, I'm guessing it's athletic conditioning / running backs. Thomas Brown, not sure who he is. And then the Texans, former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, Chargers offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi, Florida Atlantic wide receivers coach Hines Ward, which is really interesting. The Texans are just throwing it. I think they're just trying to make Deshaun Watson happy with something like that. And they also interviewed Eagles D coordinator Jonathan Gannon, former quarterback Josh McCown, and Rams offense coordinator Kevin O'Connell. So the Texans are just throwing shit at the wall and hope something sticks, seems like. I mean, Hines Ward, I mean, that's just mind-boggling. He's a Florida Atlantic wide receivers coach, and you're interviewing for a head coaching job already? That's insane to me.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre.
And the last opening is Raiders. They keep their current head coach, Rich. I never can pronounce his last name. You know his last name, Rich?
Yaska,
yeah. Bisakia, something like that. Patriots inside linebacker coach, Jared Mayo. 49ers defense coordinator, D'Amico Ryans. Patriots offense coordinator, Josh McDaniels. And Patriots personal executive, Dave Ziegler. Not sure what that about is, hiring a personnel executive as a head coach. But hey, who am I?
I heard a juicy rumor about the Raiders head coaching position. I heard that if they offered the job to Jim Harbaugh, he would leave Michigan. That's the one job he would leave Michigan for.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I heard that, and that was very interesting.
Hey, they do that. That might pull Rodgers to the Raiders. Which, I mean, the Packers wouldn't be a bad idea to trade Derek Carr and some picks for Aaron Rodgers if you're trying to win now. But if I'm Rodgers, I'm not going to Las Vegas. I don't see them being just a quarterback away. They're a solid team, but they still need some help.
Yeah, I think if Rodgers leaves, Devontae Adams came out and said he wants $30 million a year. And that's just – Packers don't pay anybody that other than a quarterback. So,
no.
I see them in a rebuild soon. Jordan Love's team.
Yep. And I hope it's a long rebuild because they've had two of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever watched over the past 30 years. Only two Super Bowls and a lot of playoff chokes.
Yep.
So, and I got two Packers buddies that – I can't have them win. It's just annoying. They're a pain in the ass. That's the coaching carousel for the week. I'm sure next week or Super Bowl weekend we'll have some more hires by then. But so far, three out of the, what, nine jobs it is have been filled. There's a bunch of rumors everywhere else. Enough of the teams that are out. Let's talk about maybe the greatest weekend in football, I'll say NFL history. I mean, if you're an NFL fan, there wasn't anything missing from last week. Three games came down to final field goals, and the last game came down to a regulation game-tying field goal and then a game-winning touchdown. So we'll start with the Bengals-Titans. The Bengals inched out in just a brawl, 19-16. I mean, Joe Burrow doesn't throw a touchdown, has one pick, but just, I mean, he was sacked nine times and just kept fucking slinging the ball. He's a winner. He's going to be fun to watch for the next 10 to 15 years. And I'm happy for Bengals fans. Sorry for Titans fans because, you know, they've had some heartbreaks too. But Bengals been around a little longer, and it's a little more heartbreaking if they would have lost. What are your takes from this game?
Again, hell of a game. Burrow has just been so impressive to me. He's grown on me, man. He's really grown on me. I don't know how many other guys I would really want to take over him anymore. I mean, not only can he throw, but he's just his intangibles. He's just clutch, man. He's just the guy. I think he's the next big thing, man. And with that game, it just shows the difference between having a Joe Burrow and a Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions. I think that was what cost them the game. You know, the turning the ball over like that. That and Derrick Henry not being himself. Mm-hmm. He got the ball 20 times for like 60. I mean, it was just – that's not Derrick Henry we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, Foreman was the leading rusher, and he had four carries for 66 yards, and yeah. Henry was just a shell of himself. Hell, but yeah. I would put more to blame on the Titans coaching. I mean, that one where Tannehill threw that swing pass, and it was a hell of a play by defender, tipped it. They literally ran like four or five run plays before, ran 80 yards down their throat, and then they come out and throw the ball right away. I know element of surprise, things like that, but you don't throw a swing pass either. You do what got you there. Keep running the rock, punch it in the end zone. The game, they got the game in hand at that point. So just putting it in Tannehill's hands when Foreman's running all right. Henry isn't the worst runner. He's got a good offensive line. I mean, I know A.J. Brown had a hell of a game, 142 yards and a touchdown, and a hell of a catch, that one-handed. It was a good throw, too, though, because, I mean, it was like a handoff. He threw it to him and stuck right in his arm. It was an awesome play. Yeah. But I got to blame the Titans coaching. It was just time after time, just bad play calling at the wrong time. And I know it's hindsight. But you got to call it when you see it. I was screaming as soon as he threw that pick. I was like, just run the ball. If they stop you twice and you got to throw it on third down, you take your chances there. You don't run the ball for 75, 80 yards and then go and throw a swing pass, picked off, and everything just flipped at that point. But also the field goal kicker. I mean, he turned around before he even went in. Yeah. I mean, talk about a walk-off. That guy's got some ice in his veins. My favorite upset of the week, the 49ers beat the Packers. Let's see what this comment is. Everything's all backed up. But, yeah, the 49ers upset the number one seed Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field when it was freezing, when it was snowing. It's supposed to be a home field advantage. And the Packers lose. When I tell you I was going nuts for this game, I was going to this game. It's like I was watching the Eagles versus Packers. Like I told you, I had the Packers buddies, so rooting against them, I have to root hardcore. And I was going nuts. That block punt at the end, I scared the hell out of my wife. She was like, "Why the hell are you cheering so hard?" And I was like, "Fuck the Packers." It was another great game. Another Aaron Rodgers choke. Can't be happier for them to be out. What are your feelings from this game?
Yeah, that was a hell of a meltdown, I thought, by the Packers. I mean, special teams of the 49ers made the difference. But one thing I noticed about that game that kind of struck me was a little bit was Rodgers just kept going, and it was literally just Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. They didn't target any other player more than one time the rest of the game. It was literally every throw was to Adams and Aaron Jones, and it kind of made their offense so predictable. I mean, it was – they didn't look – he didn't look anywhere else the entire game. And it just
didn't.
I don't know if that was Rodgers or if that was the play calling. I don't know what the deal was, but it just was like, do what got you there. I mean, he usually spreads the ball around. He just – locked in, just went off his first read.
Yeah, I think that opening drive is what killed the Packers. They drove down with ease, and I think at that point they were like, Rodgers, like, I'll do what the fuck I want back here. No one's going to stop me. And he got his teeth punched in because that defense played fucking lights out in Lambeau to play like that in that atmosphere. It's cold. Jimmy G didn't do anything special. I mean, the only touchdown they had, like I said, was that block punt. But they did what they had to do to get field goal range at the end. And the Packers choked. I couldn't be happier. And we'll go to another upset. Kind of. I didn't think it was an upset. I had actually the Rams. I took the Rams on a parlay -6.5. So I was pissed that the Buccaneers came back. And the final score was Rams 30, Buccaneers 27. Because I thought for sure I had that game locked. And the Rams, man, they kept handing them the ball. Let's run up the middle with one hand on the ball. Oh, fumble. Oh, let's fumble again. And they just didn't want to give – or they wanted to give the Buccaneers the game. And yeah. In that last play to Kupp, I mean, that's a hell of a throw by Stafford. That's some balls by McVay to make that call when you know, what was it, 30 seconds, 27 seconds? And it's the easy thing to do is take a knee or run it and go into overtime. But the Rams said nope. And the Buccaneers, for some reason, let the Triple Crown King, best receiver in the league, run right by them, which is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. I don't know how you don't double team, triple team Cooper Kupp, but I think McVay had to make that call because all the momentum was going to Tampa. Yep. If that game went to overtime, Tampa Bay was rolling at that point. But yeah, it was a tale of two halves, man. That was a first half all Rams, second half all Bucks, and you know if they had a couple more minutes, I might have won a different way. But it clock ran out, so
just another. Great game, though. I mean, like I said, greatest weekend in football NFL history. It's just watching every game. I mean, not having a team to root for, you couldn't ask for anything better. Like, I know when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I'm biased. I say it's one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. But I've talked to people that aren't Eagles fans and are like, that was a hell of a game to watch. And yeah. That's all you can ask for when your team's not in it. It's just great football. And that continued with the Chiefs beating the Bills 42-36 in overtime. I mean, what a final quarter that was. I mean, well, final minute, 50 seconds. The whole game was great, but when you have three touchdowns in the final minute 50 and you have Tyreek Hill catching a pass and giving a guy a peace sign that's in front of him and still outrunning him, I mean, that's fucking speed.
Yeah.
If that's not speed, I don't know what is. I mean, what – Tyreek Hill is something special. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen is going to be the next great rivalry. Probably the you still have Burrow, but I think those two are going to be like the Brady and Manning of this era coming up.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game, man. That game was I didn't think it would be such a high-scoring game. I mean, I thought the Chiefs would pull it out, but jeez, I mean, that was such an entertaining game. Basically, it was like watching a 7-on-7, man. It was just chalking the ball all over. No defense played, especially at the end. But, yeah, hell of a game, man.
Do you squib kick it there if you're the Bills?
I don't know.
I, I mean, I understand why he didn't, because, you know, a bad squib kick could bounce out of bounds and they get it, the ball at the 40. But if it's a good squib kick, you got to put some faith in your kicker. If he makes them either take a knee because they don't want a time run out at the 15, 10-yard line, or they have to run it up and waste 6-7 seconds off the clock, that's pretty much ball game right there. You got to start throwing Hail Marys at that point.
I think you got to – I think the thought process, you know, McDermott had was to, you know, trust his defense, man. I mean, he got the number one defense. Like, they got it. Yep. They got to make a stop there. I mean, you knew it was going to either Kelsey or Hill on those plays. Like, come on. Just like with Cooper Kupp, it's sometimes you're like, man, I'm not a head coach or defensive coordinator, but I'm putting two guys on these players, you know, Kupp, Hill, Kelsey. Like, you know that it's drawn up for those guys and why they don't.
Yeah, I think sometimes they out-coach or overthink themselves because they're thinking like, oh, they know that we're going to be double-teaming this guy. So we're not going to double team that guy. You know, that's what it looked like. And they're like, oh no, they think we're going to do that, but we're going to do the opposite. And it just bit both teams in the ass.
Yeah.
And then the big controversy after that game, does the overtime rule need to be changed? Do you think it should be changed?
So, two-part answer. Yes, I do believe it needs to be changed. Because it's just, it comes down to a coin toss. It shouldn't come down to a coin toss. Either play a quarter or do some kind of college rule where each team is guaranteed a possession, play a 10-minute quarter, whatever it may be. But at the same time, I don't like the griping that the Bills fans have saying that it's not fair. We know what the rules are now. Should it be changed going forward? Yeah, sure. But, I mean, you can't be upset. You knew what the rules were. I mean, make us, you know, don't let it get to overtime, you know.
Yeah. And you can't be mad at the Chiefs because 2 years ago, they actually put in the NFL when they had their owner meetings and they can propose new deals. The Eagles had the new onside kick deal. The Chiefs had a new overtime deal. I think it was more something along the college lines or the quarter, like you said. But I think, I mean – the rule looks in the playoffs, I think it's 7-1 or something. The team that wins the coin toss wins the game. But my thing is, if you coach your defense up and you get a 3-and-out, or if they get one first down, you stop them and they punt it, all you need to do is go 30 yards, kick a field goal. They have to score a touchdown to win. If you stop them, all you have to do is get in field goal range and kick a field goal to win. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
a double-edged sword. It's like, yeah, you're getting an advantage because you get the ball first, but you have to score a touchdown. If you don't, the other team only has to kick a field goal to win. So it's kind of – I mean, I'm okay with it. If they change it to a college, it has to be like at your own 45. They can't start at the 25 like college because you'll be going in the 17 overtimes at that point. So I would maybe put up the 50 or their own 45. That way they still need 15 yards to get in short field goal range or go down for a touchdown. But maybe only for playoffs. Regular season, I think, keep it the same way because they're not getting paid more for the overtime. You don't want to have guys injured. If you're getting, you know, 8 extra possessions in, you know, quadruple overtime or triple overtime, whatever, you're going to have more injuries and things like that because people are going to be all out. But in the playoffs, no players care. It's all on the line. It's win or go home. You know, as much as it sucks to not see Josh Allen get on the field, it is the rule. If the Bills' number one defense across the board stepped up, made a play, all they have to do is go 20 to 40 yards and kick a field goal and win the game. I understand the Chiefs had the momentum. But the thing that made me mad about Josh Allen is the way he walked off after he lost the coin flip. He walked off looking like he already lost the game. And I looked up the video and watched it a few times, and exactly what I'm saying. He looked like they lost the game. As soon as he lost it, he walked off, walked right to the bench. Someone said he started hyping his team up later, but, you know, you lose the coin toss, start clapping up your defense, get them pumped up, ready to go. You don't put your head down and think like, oh shit, we lost already because we haven't stopped in the past 2 minutes. Like, get your shit together and start rolling.
Yeah, I think we all knew that game came down to the coin toss. I mean, that's nobody was making a stop on that first possession. But going back to what you said, the you know, you would really think that, you know, hey, it wouldn't be that bad to make a stop, get the ball back after a punt. But the numbers say it's crazy lopsided. The team,
it's like 60-40 if you include playoffs into it, it's like 60-40. Yeah. So I mean, it's not a huge difference, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
And if the NFL wants more superstars and make more money, I think they're going to look at that game and say, yeah, we need to let Josh Allen get the ball. But right now, I'm okay with the rule. If it doesn't change, it's whatever. If my Eagles lost that way, then I'd be probably on the opposite end of the coin. So that's just how sports work. If it's working in your favor, who gives a shit? If it's not, we need to change it.
Yeah.
All right, enough of the losers. Well, we got some big matchups tomorrow. AFC and NFC championship games tomorrow. The first game is the Bengals at Kansas City, 3:00. What is that on? CBS. So great. We probably get to listen to asshole Tony Romo, which I can't stand because he predicts what the defense is doing, even though he couldn't do it when he played football. And it really annoys the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. I wish they had that game on Nickelodeon. I'll take your pick first. Bengals Chiefs, who do you have? Right now the line is on ESPN.com is the Chiefs -7.
Yeah, they got the Chiefs -7. I think that's just because the Chiefs offense is just rolling. I'd love to see the Bengals get through. I mean, that's the Cinderella story, I think, but I think it ends there. I think Mahomes is going to be a little bit too much. That offense is going to be too much for the Bengals defense second time around, at home, at Arrowhead. So impressed by the Bengals this year, but I think this is where their run ends. But I think we're going to be seeing a lot of them in the future. So still the Chiefs' time right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chiefs win by 10 or more. Yep. I just think they've been here. They're at home. The Bengals beat them earlier in the year, but that's when the Chiefs were really on their heels. I mean, they started out bad. People were saying, like, they're screwed, and now they're the hottest team in football. And I think that continues. They're going to get to Joe Burrow. I think he makes one or two mistakes tomorrow. I call it two interceptions, which I can see from him, just because he's got to play catch-up. He's going to have to throw it all over the yard. And I see the Chiefs rolling the Bengals in this one. Unfortunately, like you said, because it's a Cinderella story. Cincinnati's never won one. It would be nice to see them get one. And the night game, NFC Championship game, is the 49ers versus the Rams in Los Angeles at 6:30 p.m. on Fox. The line is the Rams -3.5 right now. Do you agree with that line, or do you think the 49ers can pull another one out?
I mean, I agree with that line. I mean, that's telling me that that's a half point to the Rams with the way Matt Stafford's been chucking the ball around and all the weapons they got. I mean, that to me is a 49ers line. I mean, that tells me a lot. So I agree with the line. So I'm not upset with that.
Yeah. I mean, and the line, usually you get 3 for being the home team, but I don't think the Rams are going to be the home team tomorrow. Last time, 49ers, what, week 17, week 18, whatever it was, when they came back to make the playoffs, it was half San Fran fans, if not 75% San Fran fans. And I know they were doing in LA, they were trying to put on there where you had to put in your zip code to buy a ticket. That way, they weren't selling to 49ers fans, but they StubHub and all that shit shut that down real quick because, you know, it's violation. But it's going to be 60-40, 50-50, or 75-25 49ers fans. The Rams just don't have a fan base. They're in L.A. No one gives a shit. Yeah. The 49ers are, you know, one of the top franchises, and their fans are top-notch. And I think – I still think the Rams are going to win, though. I think there's just too much talent on the Rams team to lose this game. They have the better quarterback. Debo Samuel, I know he hasn't been on an injury report, but it still kind of scares me that he might be banged up a little bit, and he is the 49ers offense. There's no one else. I mean, they have Elijah Mitchell and Brandon Ayuk, but I mean, Debo, they run as Debo runs.
Yep.
And his injury kind of worries me. And I think the Rams with Kupp, Stafford, and then just the stars on defense, Aaron Donald, Ramsey, all those guys, I think the Rams lock it up. It'll be a close one, closer than the first game, I think. But I still see the Rams winning by probably a touchdown, 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite way, man. I've been wrong a lot, but that something about the 49ers, man. I just, you know, their defense and the way they play the Rams, they beat them 6 straight, and it's just, I think that they match up extremely well. The 49ers play the pass pretty good. I mean, they're top 6 against the pass, or top 10 against the run, and they can run the ball, man. And I think that and the Rams can't run. I mean, you saw last week throughout the season, they were one of the worst run teams. I guess they don't have to run too often, but when you got Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham, you can chuck the ball around. But I think that's what it comes down to, man. I think that the 49ers just have their number, and they match up well on defense, and I think they can just pound the ball. And like you said, there's no fan, you know, there's no home field advantage. I think the most popular team in LA still is the Raiders. Who cares about the Rams? You know, this isn't the St. Louis Rams anymore in the Dome anymore. Yeah.
Exactly.
L.A. Rams. So, I don't know. I kind of got the 49ers in an upset, man. I really do.
I could say it. I think the star power overwhelms the 49ers, but it hasn't before. So, anything happened. I think we're all just hoping, as Eagles fans, other fans out there that have been commenting, Steelers, other Eagles fans, and, you know, Dolphins fans, things like that, that have commented, just – we hope for another weekend or another day like last Sunday. Just give us two good games, hell of battles between great quarterbacks and great teams, and we'll all be happy. And I'm sure the NFL will be as well. That being said, that's it for our conference championships show. Hopefully one of us is right on our picks, but who knows? You know, we went opposite on one of them, so we'll see. And hell of a show, Mike. You know, I appreciate you joining me, and I look forward to many more shows with you.
Yes.
It's been a great time so far. I'm glad we picked up during the playoffs, and then after this week and the Super Bowl week, we'll start covering the draft, maybe do our own mock drafts. It's going to be a hell of a time, so I hope everyone watching can join us, comment, and have a good time. I love reading your guys' comments, talking shit, telling us we're stupid. Do whatever you want. You know, we're here for it. You know, we're here to have a good time, here to talk football, and just have fun doing it.
Yeah, man.
All right, everyone, we'll see you. I think we're going to take the week off for Pro Bowl, because the NFL takes a week off as well, because it's probably the worst all-star game in all of sports. It's just absolute garbage. So we'll have a Super Bowl show probably Saturday again, 7:30, 8 o'clock. But we'll start advertising that as we get closer. We're also going to be putting out a block pool for everyone. Rumble Fumble. It's gonna be $10 a block. Hope everyone can join. You can win a bunch of money. So I'll have that up on the Rumble Fumble site, Twitter, and Old City Sports as well. And if you want to check out other podcasts, we got a lot of hockey podcasts, including Flyers Alley, which is a great podcast. Go to oldcitysports.com, check all that out. Any benefits we're having, you can check them out as well on there. And enjoy Conference Championship Sunday, everyone. I'll see you. See you, Mike.
Yeah.